God is good all the time. We would like to welcome you to First Church. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here. If you would grab the bulletin that you were handed as you walked in and as you are walking in now, just lots of information in the bulletin, lots of different announcements that you want to be sure to look at. Our Thanksgiving dinner is going to be November the 20th, so be sure to mark that on your calendar. Following that dinner or during that dinner, we'll be having our youth pie auction. So that's just a lot of fun. We want to encourage you to attend that and be a part of that. And a few different announcements that I have that are not in the bulletin. Jonna Hoover turned 16 today. So if you see her, be sure to sing her like a sweet 16 birthday song or something like that. I don't know, just pick your poison. You might be kind of awkward if you whip her 16 times, depending on who you are. But also, there is a Veterans Day assembly and breakfast at Warsaw High School this coming Friday. The breakfast is for the veterans and their families, correct, at 8:30. And there's an assembly for everyone to attend at 9 o'clock. So if you're interested in that, that's going to be at Warsaw High School this coming Friday. And also, Miss Lydia Shockman was in all district choir, so be sure to congratulate her for that. And also, if you would grab your bulletin, and inside your bulletin, you should have Cliff Soppy's notes, his Cliff notes that go along with this week's sermon. So be sure to look at that also as you go through this week. And if you would look at the very top of our announcements in the bulletin, and in bold, you will see our mission statement. So if you would read that with me, starting with our mission. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. Eric.
Today is a very special day in the life of the church and of this nation. We are celebrating today what actually the rest of the nation is celebrating on Friday, and that is Veterans Day. And one thing I like to do every year whenever we recognize the veterans. Are there any here who have served in our military at all? Excellent, excellent. Why don't you stand right now? Let us recognize you as a group. If you're able, stand. And thank you so much. I don't know where everyone is today. Hopefully they'll show up. It seems like by 15 till, we're doing pretty good. But anyway, I want you to know how grateful I am that you were willing to give your life to protect our freedoms, to allow us to be here. And as a matter of fact, it reminds me of someone else that we celebrate in the church that gave their life for our freedoms. And so I think his name was Jesus, if I remember right. And so I count you right up there that you are willing to give your life for people that you don't even know and the freedoms that they have. And now I understand, and I want to lift this up. There are, you know, many people who don't like issues around military and war and things like that lifted in service. And the tenor that I am bringing it to service in is the fact of appreciation, because my understanding is we could not be here sitting in this place worshiping how we want to worship, or worshiping at all, if you had not done that. And so I just want to say thank you. And what I would like to do now is I'm going to start up here with Kenyon. And if you would say your name, of course you know his name now that I said Kenyon, but say your name, the years that you served, and what branch and where that was, okay?
Hi, Kenyon Colton. United States Air Force, 1976 to 1980, stateside, Travis Air Force Base, California.
Excellent. Thank you, Kenyon.
Doug, U.S. Air Force, from 1980 to 83, at Whiteman.
All right. Mark?
Mark Lewis, United States Air Force, 76 to 82, mostly stateside and a little time in North Africa.
You can tell he's a tenor. Oh, go right ahead.
Myrna Gregeth, United States Navy, 1965, 1968, Oakland Naval Hospital.
Excellent. Jim, you didn't hear this. Your name, you don't have to say you're my father-in-law or outlaw, but what branch of the service you served in and where you served and what the dates?
I was in the Navy 62 to 65 and was in the Bay of Pigs thing.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Next.
Jay Sterling. I served in U.S. Air Force from 65 to 69. In 1974, I served a year with the Army National Guard, serving 18 months in Tripoli, Libya, 10 months in Nakhon Phnom, Thailand, and the rest of it stateside.
Anyone here? I didn't see. Okay.
I served at home.
You served at home?
The wife, the husband.
Bless your heart. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Here's one, Eric.
Service? All right.
Bill Bissell. I was in the service from 48 to 53. I went through the airborne. I was in the airborne for a while, but they transferred me. I ended up in St. Louis. Going over the contracts of military buying meat and that from the packing houses.
Excellent. Anybody else? Here we go. All right.
Rex Kahn, Army, 1942 through 1945.
Excellent. Jerry Gillespie, 49 to 53, Korean War.
Larry Nelson, Army National Guard, 66 to 72, active duty at Fort Lewis, Washington.
66 was a good year.
44 to 46 in the Navy in Seabees. It's on Okinawa, Japan, and China.
Excellent.
Bob McMillan, U.S. Navy, 1953 to September 11, 1955, 1 p.m. Never got out of the state of Maryland.
Do you know the minute and second?
Warren Hunt, U.S. Air Force, 1965 through 68, Special Forces Camp Coordinator.
Excellent. Earl.
Earl Kellerstrauss, U.S. Navy, 1959 to 1965, U.S. South Pacific.
Excellent. Wow. Anyone else? Yes.
Yeah. Jim Wills, U.S. Army, 1963 to 1965.
Wow. Others? Yes. Let's give a clap of appreciation there. We truly thank you for your time that you gave to your nation, and we celebrate you. Thank you very much. What's next, sir?
We go ahead and start. Let's pray.
Oh,
you have something else?
What's that standing back there?
Oh, is that a giant baked potato, or is that a pie, or I don't know.
Who is that?
All I know is I'm hungry.
Now you know how ladies feel.
Hello. My name is Polly the Pumpkin Pie. And I am here to tell you that I'm having a party November 20th. It's called a pie auction. If you couldn't tell, I'm a pie. A deformed pie, but you get the point.
You're a little lumpy.
Yeah. So, yes, November 20th, party, pie auction.
What time?
Get away from me. Get away.
Yeah.
I think the fork caught up with the pie.
Yeah. Should we just cancel service and get out of here?
Yeah, I think that pretty much said it all.
Let's do that. Yes, a reminder of the pie auction, November 20th, directly after the second service. So be sure, if you can be in attendance of that, please make your way there. We need all the prayer we can get, so let's go ahead and pray and open this thing up. Father in heaven, God, we just thank you so much for joy and laughter and all the fun that you allow us to have. God, we also just thank you for the freedom to do that on this Veterans Day, the freedom that you've given us in Christ, the freedom that you've given us through all of those who have served this country. God, we lift up the things that are going on between Iran and Israel right now. God, as we know that you understand many of the kingdoms of this world, but God, we understand that your kingdom is not of this world. So God, help us to know how to pray for that. Give us the wisdom to intercede for those in the Middle East. And God, as we just come together in one voice, God, help us to zero in on you and to worship you with one heart and with one voice. And we say this in your name. Amen.
Buckle up and hold on. At our church, we love God. Make no mistake about that. At our church, we believe in God's radical, unconditional, and unwavering love for us. At our church, we believe that Jesus is God. We also affirm that you may or may not believe that Jesus is God. And we're not asking you to change your belief system before you attend our church. We're simply inviting you on a journey toward Jesus. For years, churches have placed a high priority on Jesus as the get-out-of-hell-free card. At our church, we place the highest priority on Jesus as a live life to the fullest invitation. At our church, we believe every person has a dream deep inside their hearts, and that God put that dream there, not for our glory, but for His. At our church, we're not concerned with where you've been, but where you're going. At our church, we believe that the Bible is God's Word. It is real, it is living, it is active. We believe that people who don't go to church anywhere are not the enemy. They are real people who need the perfect love that only God can give. And we believe that God gives this love through, of all people, us. At our church, we do not and we will not display a holier-than-thou attitude toward anyone. We are all broken people, but He is putting us back together. And finally, and most importantly, at our church, we believe that Jesus really lived, that He really died on the cross, and that He really rose again on the third day. And we cannot and we will not candy coat or water down that message, ever. Today, you've chosen to sit yourself in the middle of a very safe place to hear a potentially dangerous message. Welcome to our church.
Would you all please stand as we sing together this morning?
Everything that, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that, everything that, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening, praise you when I'm young and when I'm old. Praise you when I'm laughing, praise you when I'm grieving, praise you every season of the soul. If we could see how much your worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise. nation, calling all the nations to your praise. If they could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise.
Put our hands together.
Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Awesome. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Let's focus our hearts and our minds and our souls on worshiping God as we sing.
Savior, He can move the
God, we come before you this day giving you thanks and praise for the fact that you, Lord, conquered the grave. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, that we can be here this day celebrating that fact. We give you thanks and praise for all the amazing miracles and wonders that are done each day in our life. From those that are so small, Lord, that we fail to even notice them, to those that are so big we can't help but see them, God. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for this church. We thank you for all the generations that have brought us to this place where we are today. We give you praise in all those small ways that we move this church forward into the future. As we gather together to worship you, Lord, we ask for your powerful anointing. We ask, God, that you anoint your spirit upon this service so that we can continue to spread your kingdom, your reign, here in Warsaw and around the world. Give us courage. Make us be men enough, Lord. Those of us who are men, make us be men of us, men enough to be able to step out in our faith. Those of us who are women, Lord, let us be women enough to have the guts to step out in our faith, to care enough to spread your kingdom. We ask for your powerful anointing, God. We ask for your guidance and direction. We ask for whatever you know that we need. But most of all, Lord, we ask for your will. Guide and direct each of us individually. Guide and direct this church. Make us one with you, Lord, and one with each other. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Please be seated. It's time for the kids to come on down. So come on down and talk to Miss Diane.
I love Jesus.
Yes, come on now.
I do. Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
All right.
Good morning. Oh, I'm supposed to use this, I think. Is it on?
Yep.
I don't know. I don't care. Good morning. Good morning. Isn't this a beautiful morning? It is. Do you know why I like cloudy morning? Because as an artist, you can see the colors better. When it's bright and sunny, that's nice too. But bright and sunny washes all the colors out. So when it's cloudy, you can look for the colors and everything else that goes with fall, which we've had a beautiful, thank you, Lord, for this fall. We got to have a fall this year. Okay, we have been listening to stories and messages about extravagant generosity. What is extravagant? Does anybody have an idea? It starts out with the word E-X-T-R-A, extra. So extra is lots of, okay? Lots of generosity. What's generosity? What's generosity? How about giving? Is that generosity when you give? Are we awake this morning? Okay. I thought about giving, and how can we give? Do you have a paycheck coming in?
No.
No paycheck? So you don't have any money to give. Do you have a paycheck coming in? Nobody. Does anybody over here have a paycheck? Do you have a paycheck that comes in? So it's hard for you to give money. What could you give that's extravagant? What is it? What?
Our love.
Love. And that doesn't cost anything, does it? I have something else that doesn't cost anything. And it takes less muscles than frowning. Everybody frown. Practice a frown. Let me see a frown. Oh, come on. Put your lip out. Frown. Now, what's opposite of a frown? Let me see. Smiling. Let me see smiles. Let me see teeth. Oh, big smiles. That's great. Do you know, I went to look up the word smile in the Bible, and it's not used anywhere except in one translation. And it says, the Lord make his face shine upon you. And the other verse in Numbers that said, make God smile on you. God is smiling on you. Have you ever thought about that? What do you think he wants you to do? To be generous with your what?
Love.
Love and your
smile.
Your smile. Okay, come on, everybody, practice smiling. Let me see the biggest smiles you've got. Bigger. Let me see big smiles. There we go. Do you know that smiling, they have done studies on it, and they have put electrodes on people's faces and in their brains? Listen to this. Smiles changes our mood. Just by the act of pushing your cheeks up, just by pushing your cheeks up, it triggers something in your brain that makes you happy. It releases endorphins. And endorphins are those things that keep us happy and take away pain. It's contagious. If you smile and you look goofy, other people are going to look goofy and laugh at you, aren't they? And that's good, because that's spreading God's smiles, God's love. Smiling relieves stress. It's supposed to make us more attractive, and it lifts, well, this is for the older folks, it lifts your face and makes you look younger. So smile. Let's see everybody out there smile. Yay. Oh, everybody up here, smile. Practice your smile. All right. And I want to tell you, I want you to really smile today after we collect money for our mission projects. I have treats for you. I'm so worried that you didn't have enough on Halloween, so I have pure sugar for you, okay? Right here. You're welcome to have two or three of them. And then maybe you could smile at everybody when you're taking up the money today, okay? And thank them. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for smiling on us. Help us smile at everyone we meet and spread your love. In Jesus' holy name we pray. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's go get that money.
Amen.
We wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our Lord, our strong
God. Please be seated.
If you would, go ahead and grab your Bibles.
That's
okay. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is the second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And I'm about to undo what Eric just did. If you would, once you have your place, if you would hold your place and please stand with me.
Sorry, folks.
Good exercise, along with smiling. Smile while we say our Bible pledge. Raise your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Up in this Hopsy Bopsy. You want the show? You got to give up the dough. You know that, baby. Else you in for a long day. A long day. Woo!
Some people thought I was crazy when I brought Barry on board, but I'm a firm proponent of paradigm breaking, outside the box thinking. And since Barry's been on our team, giving has gone up 46%.
So who do I need to make this out to?
Just make it out to Watermark.
Okay, great.
$10? $10? Try 10%, punk! And that's just for starters. What's wrong with you, man? You lost your mind.
I'm an enforcer, man. Don't nothing get by me in the Lord's house. It's 100% hard, baby. Sure, I check a few fools, but it's about intimidation. It's mind games.
But what has really impressed me is how Barry has become such a part of the Watermark family. He fits right in here.
Ha, ha, hallelujah. He saved me.
You are over budget again this month, Linda. Hey, Christy. The Lord's money don't grow on trees.
This movement is seeking to reground Christian dogmatics as the locus of God's indirect self-disclosure. And we all know what that means.
That's not to say Barry's gone soft. He still does what he does best.
I just do my job, man. I just do what my God-given abilities allow me to do. And I thank Jesus Christ for it every single day. And do I enjoy what I do? Oh, yeah.
Lord's money. You can't come up to Watermore, kick my dog, and then keep your money for yourself? Boom! You must be crazy.
When I ran across that, I cried. I laughed so hard. Good morning. Hey, I have to say before I start this morning, some of you I know were at Randy Morrow's celebration yesterday, but a member of our church, most of you know Randy Morrow, football coach for many years in this community, and he was inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame a few months ago, and Adam Howe organized a celebration around that. And I just have to say, when you see Randy and Debbie, his wife, make sure you congratulate them. It was just a great honor for him to be inducted into that. And we all know, or at least those of us who've been married, we understand that it takes a great wife to be able to support Randy and what he was doing and all that. And Randy is a prime example, at least what I knew of Randy. I mean, many of you former football players may not agree with me here. I don't know. But what I know of Randy, he is a great example of extravagant generosity. He not only influenced the football players and the football team, but he also influenced other sports in that high school. He influenced the whole high school and this community. And so I just hope all of us will look at that as an example of extravagant generosity and how we can influence an entire community to be different, to think different, and to support the people that are in this community. So just congratulate him next time you see him. Of course, Debbie as well. Well, we have, for the last several weeks, been in a teaching series called Extravagant Generosity. And my hope and prayer is that you've been able to spend some time either through our study guides that Cliff creates for us and we have in our bulletins, or, our Sunday school classes are also doing this. And so I hope it would be great if every single person in this church would attend a Sunday school class and be a part of that. It is the next step to Christian maturity to be involved in Sunday schools and study groups. But today, I would like to ask you a question. What influenced you to step out of your comfort zone to express your love for God with generous giving? What influenced you? As you think back, what has influenced you to step out of your comfort zone, or you know what he said, out of the box, right? Did you see his hands? Out of the box, thinking there. What has influenced you to step out of your comfort zone to express your love for God with generous thinking? Generous giving. Hopefully you're thinking about that and not daydreaming yet. Do you remember from a few weeks ago, I quoted from Bishop Sunesi's book, at some point in our following Jesus, we realize that all we are, comes from God and belongs to God. This leads us to practice extravagant generosity. Let's read that together. At some point in our following Jesus, we realize all that we are comes from God and belongs to God. This leads us to practice extravagant generosity. As we dig deeper, we come to realize that generosity is a matter of faith. Most pastors that I know of, whenever they talk about money problems in a church, most every single conversation says, well, there is a faith problem in the church. When there's money issues in the church, there is a faith issue in the church. And a voice in our heritage as United Methodist is theologian John Wesley. He's the founder of the Methodist movement. And he spoke often of a rigorous faith that united one's head, heart, and hands together in Christ. Another way to put this is a faith that includes reason, a faith that is heartfelt and spiritual, and a faith that is hands-on and shown outwardly through the generosity of our time, our talents, and our tithe. In our scripture for today, the Apostle Paul is sending Titus and others to Corinth and is asking the church in Corinth to openly, before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. It reminds me of whenever I go to pastors' meetings, because whenever I go to pastors' meetings, I can't help but be excited and have a Christian pride for you all. And I tell them all the wonderful things that this church, in other words, you all, are doing in this community and around the area. And, you know, sometimes they're going, Eric, can we just trade churches for a while, right? But it's very similar to Jesus' words in John 13. And you know this, I give you a new commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also, what? Are we awake this morning? Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone, wait a minute, by this. What does he mean by that? By this. What is this? Have you ever thought about that? I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another by this. What is this? Love, yes. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Did you catch that? I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, at some point in our following Jesus, we realize that all that we are and all that we have belongs to Jesus. All that we are and all that we have comes from God and Jesus and belongs to God and leads us to practice extravagant generosity. Personally, I believe that many in this church community work hard to unite head, heart, and hands in ministry to this community, the surrounding area, and the world. And there are many times that I feel so blessed to be your pastor and also to be a United Methodist because of the things that we do in the world, supporting people by feeding them, clothing them, giving them shelter, digging wells so they have fresh water to drink, helping rebuild their lives after a natural disaster, giving children a safe place to live, providing nets to protect people against mosquitoes that carry malaria, providing pets so that people who have lost the use of their legs now have a way to get around. And I should have explained that in the first service, and I didn't. It's not a dog or a camel or a goat or a horse. Pets are, I believe they call them personal energy transportation. Is that what they are? Does anybody know? I just have pets down here. But what it is, it's essentially a tricycle that they can use their hands to move them forward. And it's for people who have lost use of their legs or may no longer have legs because of landmines in their countries. All right? So the church builds these pets and gives them to people who no longer have use of their legs. All of these ministries are because of the United Methodist understanding. Now listen. Because of the United Methodist understanding of being Christ to the world by your giving of your time, your talents, and your tithes. What about First Church? What do we do? What is our purpose? What is our purpose? Hopefully. Yeah, some of you are catching on. What's our purpose? Huh? Remember, it's on your bulletin. We are called. Let's read this together. I have it up on the screen even. You don't have to, after I make you get your bulletin out, you don't even have to do it. We are called to make Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and the world. That is this church's purpose. This church lives out its relationship with Christ through that purpose. Let's look at some ministries of First Church. How about the caring ministries team that Justin heads up? The cares for this community by sending cards, by providing meals, by arranging rides to doctor's appointments, by visiting the sick and the homebound, and on and on and on. Let's read this together. This ministry can only happen because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe, And it's done because it's about helping Jesus change people's lives. Have you ever thought about that? Think of all the times when we have childcare during worship, meetings, and rehearsals here at the church so that those with children can participate in the ministries of this church. This ministry can only happen, why? Because of those in this church willing to give their time and their talents and their tithe, and it is done because it's about helping Jesus change people's lives. Is it a miracle that we have childcare? I mean, does it just happen by the preacher snapping his fingers? No, what makes it a miracle is that you give your time so that we can have childcare. The miracle is that you give your money so that we can have one who is in charge of childcare and that can make sure that child that nursery is filled with people to help children that are safe sanctuary trained, by the way. So you also know that your child is protected. How about vacation Bible school? When we have all the children laughing and singing and learning about Jesus, this can only happen, let's read this together, because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe, and it is done because it's about helping Jesus change people's lives. Look at our catch team that gives away iced tea and lemonade at parades simply to provide people something to drink. Again, this ministry can only happen because of those in this church, come on, let's say it together now, willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe, and it is done because it's about helping Jesus change people's lives. How about our volunteers and missions that go to rebuild homes ravaged by hurricanes? And I know they're planning on taking a trip to Joplin as well to help out down there, maybe several trips. This can only happen because of those in this church willing to... Are you catching on this morning? All right, let's say it together then. Willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe, and it is done because it's about what? How about Allies for Angels Ministries that helps those in this community who are mentally or physically challenged as well as their families? Did you realize this church does that? This ministry only happens because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe, and it is done because it's about helping. What about when our benevolence fund, like this morning when you come up to take communion and you give money up here on this altar area, our benevolence fund helps someone buy groceries or pay the electric bill? Or how about a time like today when we have the warm house barrel in the back there so that you can give food so that they have food to give people in this community? Folks, this can only happen because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, their tithe. And it's all done because we want to help Jesus change people's lives. You know, well, how about times like Wednesday Spark? You know, the amazing thing is we had several people step up and take over Spark on Wednesdays. And oh yeah, they tripped up a few times and they know where those are. But the thing is, they stepped up and were willing to do it. I think that is amazing. And what Wednesday Spark is we bus kids in from North School and South School. And they come here and it's a time for them to catch up on homework. It's a time for them to have a snack, to do a little bit an activity and maybe have a Bible study of some kind for that age group. But they show up and they're in a safe, fun learning environment after school. This can only happen, again, let's do it together, because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. And it is done because it's about helping Jesus change people's lives. How about our Prayer Shawl Ministry? They've made hundreds of shawls and given them to those who are sick, reminding them that they have a church that is praying for them so that when they wrap that shawl around them, they remember all of you praying for them. This can only happen. Now, wait, before I move on, if this is kind of irritating your heart, I want to challenge you about something. I really doubt it's Eric, and I really doubt it's Eric's message. I think probably God is putting a little test on your heart. So I want you to be reflective. Don't shut me down, and don't shut God down, because if it's bothering you, right, there's a reason why it's bothering you. So let's say this together. This can only happen because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. And we do it because it's about helping Jesus change people's lives. How about our prayer warrior ministry? What a tremendous support in times of rejoicing and times of need. And it can only happen because of people willing to give their time, talents, and tithe. How about our United Methodist men? By the way, men, we do have a United Methodist men. They meet once a month on a Saturday morning. They have an amazing breakfast that has no calories, so you don't have to worry about that. And if you want to be the hands and feet of Christ, you know what they do when there's a project to do? They like, for instance, they've built ramps so that people who have a hard time walking can get into their house. And they've done something as simple as change a light bulb. But they've also done things like building ramps and anything in between. If they can do it, they will do it or find someone to do it. That is what the United Methodist Men are about. Small projects that people can't do themselves. The only way it can happen, folks. Why? Because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. Do you understand the point this morning? How about the fact that we continue to have so many youth in this church that they can't meet in the youth room, and they are laughing, having fun, and learning how to live as Christians in this church facility, folks, right here. And then they choose to do community service, or to go and rebuild someone's home, or to do whatever they're asked. And the amazing thing is, like at this pie auction, you know what they've done every year? Do you know what the youth have chosen to do every year? They tithe that money back to the ministries of the church. Folks, these are our teenagers. I think maybe some of us should start following their example. But this can only happen because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, come on, let's say it together, and their tithe, and it's... Amen. I could go on and on. I know there are ministries that I have left out, and I apologize, but I know you want me to move on with this sermon. But do you understand this church, why this church is so powerful in this community? This church is powerful in this community because of the generations that have come before you, that have put us in this place, at this time, in this facility, and it will only continue to be a powerhouse for Jesus in this community if people are willing to give their time and their talents and their tithe so that Jesus can change their lives. Does that make sense? Can I have an amen? The staff of this church can only do ministry because you are willing to give your time and your talent and your tithe. You understand that? Well, Eric, I think we pay the staff to do that. The staff can only do their job because of you. Willing to give your time. Willing to give your talent. Willing to give your tithe. And if you think about it this way, if we don't, or if we scrimp on our tithe, we won't have staff, will we? Right? So we got to think about these things. How ministry happens in this church is through your prayers, right? Through your time, your talent, and your tithe to this church. It takes all, not just one or the other. The staff of this church can only do what you want the staff to do because of your time, your willingness to help, your talent, and your tithe. We are called to make Christian disciples. This church, this is what we do. You made the decision long before I came. It wasn't me. All right? So let's say this together. We are called to make Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and the world. Folks, I want you to know how passionate I am about the ministries of this church. It probably frustrates my family sometimes because I have given everything about Eric to the ministries of this church. Because I believe in you. I believe in what you are doing. I believe in it. Obviously, I believe in Jesus and who Jesus is. That's not what I'm saying. My point is, I believe in how this church is expressing its love to the community. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I want to be a part of it. And I hope you want to be a part of it. So as you consider your time and your talent and your tithe that you'll be giving to this church in 2012, I hope you remember the changed lives that you will be a part of. Not only in the eyes of those that were helped, but also in the eyes of those doing the help. Now, I have to tell you, I understand this year has been rough, hasn't it? Come on, hadn't it? This year's been rough. And because it's been rough on you, guess who else it's been rough on? Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, we're all in it together, aren't we? And whether you believe it or not, we are. Believe me, we're all in it together, right? I tell you what, if you want the best use of your money, I say it's right here at First UMC. If you want to raise the ceiling on what you think your money does in this world, I think it's right here. It always amazes me, and this is me, and I'm talking to Eric here. I can go to Walmart or another store and buy something that I really want, and I get it home and I realize I didn't really want it after all. Anybody ever done that? And yet I could come to worship and I won't have any problem with that, by the way. But I can come to worship and I have a problem writing that same amount of check and giving it to the church. When yet that changes so many lives. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm just asking you, in the time we have left in 2011, reevaluate your giving of your time, of your talents, and of your tithe. I challenge you to find a better place to invest your money than right here at this church. I challenge you to find a place that changes more lives than right here on 154 West Washington Street. And I'm telling you, this church and what it has done in the past is well known around this state because of its extravagant generosity. Let us have faith in what God can do through our giving of our time and our talents and our tithe. Because at some point in our following Jesus, we realize all that we are comes from God and belongs to God. And when we make that realization, it'll lead us to practice extravagant generosity. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. As Diane said, we thank you for this fall weather and the beautiful foliage that we have had. We thank you, Lord, for the moderate temperatures that we've been able to experience to be outside and enjoy your creation. We give you thanks for this church. And as I said earlier, we thank you, Lord, for all of those generations that have come before us that allowed us to be here at this moment, in this time, in this place. All of those generations who have built this church to be what it is today. And God, as we move forward into the future, may this generation help this church move forward, to continue to affect lives, to continue to feed and clothe, give fresh water to, both locally and around the world. Holy God, we just give you praise for those willing to do these things. And I ask, Lord, even with Eric right here in my heart, that you anoint me and challenge me. Challenge each of us, Lord. Challenge each of us, God. Bother us. Bother our hearts so that we move forward. Make us uncomfortable, Lord, so that we will change something about our life to help support the ministries of your church, God. We do love you, and that's why we're here. And I give you praise for each person that is here today. Fill us full, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you are able, would you please stand with us as we sing our song of thanksgiving and prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion, God of the City.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Yeah.
seated. We come today to celebrate a meal that has been set for us for many years. In this church, we celebrate Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper, or if you're from a Roman Catholic background, the Eucharist in a couple different ways. We have wafers and little cups, if that is the way you would like to take communion. We also have bread and juice, and if you would like to be given a piece of bread and dip it in the juice, we invite you to do that as well. As I have said many times in this church, Jesus and his disciples were celebrating what's called the Passover meal, and thousands of years before that, when Hebrews were slaves in Egypt, God told Moses that he was going to send the angel of death. And he also told Moses, he said, you know, if you take the blood of a lamb and put it on your doorpost, I will know that you are my people and you will be saved. And so Moses told the Hebrew people, and most maybe, probably not all, knowing humanity, but most put the blood of a lamb on their doorpost, and the angel of death passed over their home that night. And so for thousands of years, the Hebrew people celebrated that, and it's called the Passover Festival. And it would be a party, a time for them to rejoice what God had done for them. And we fast forward to Jesus and his disciples, and this is the meal. This is the festival that they were celebrating when Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Eucharist. And you know, the interesting thing as we read the New Testament is the symbolism. Because you see, if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, leader of our life, and we believe that Jesus lived as a human being, was fully God and yet fully human, that he was killed by humanity, that he was buried and that God raised him 3 days later, overcoming sin, overcoming death, overcoming all the evil in the world, then folks, we also have the blood of the Lamb over our doorpost. Amen? That is what we celebrate today. That is what this gift and this meal that was set for us so long ago is about. In the United Methodist Church, we believe that all are welcome to partake of this meal who are looking for a closer relationship to Jesus Christ. And so you are invited to come forward and be a part of this meal. Remember, the body of Christ broken for you and for me. The blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sin. Will those who are assisting please come forward at this time? As we are serving one another later on, I ask that you prepare your hearts and minds, and that the ushers will also prepare you to come forward. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you so much for this amazing gift. Thank you for your gift of your Son, Jesus the Christ. We give you praise, God, for your willingness to give so freely to a people who did not believe in you. We give you praise, God, for Jesus and his willingness to die for us. And we thank you, God, for the grace and mercy and love that you have shown to us through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We believe in you, God, our Creator, and Jesus, our Redeemer, and in the Spirit our sustainer, Lord. And we ask this morning, as we eat this meal, that we may experience your presence in our life. That we may experience your forgiveness and your love, maybe in a way that we have never felt before, Lord. And now, God, we want to remember your Son and the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we serve one another, please prepare your hearts and minds.
Amen. I'd like to invite our ushers to come up at this time as we give of our tithes and offerings. Pray. Father in heaven, we give you praise. God, we just thank you again for your extravagant generosity, for your extra grace and extra love that you pour on us every single day. God, we thank you for that, and we give you praise for that. And God, we ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings. God, let them go to the advancement of your kingdom in this church, in this community, in this world. And God, we ask this in amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much for being here today. Our prayer, as always, is that you felt God's presence, that you were lifted up and yet challenged in whatever way God has chose to do that. And that as you go this week, that you will never forget that you are and that you are absolutely never, you are a child of God. And you are never alone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you remember that this week. And may you experience God's peace. Amen.